We're talking about
Pittsburgh culture.
Yes.
Mayor Lawrence and the Allegheny Conference were collaborating and doing great, exciting things for Pittsburgh. And it was when you realize that the steel mills and the coal industry were all jeopardized, their business was jeopardized when they put in these laws about smoke control. It was really a feat to accomplish. And that was very exciting, and it was exciting being a part of it. Then we got Mayor Flaherty eventually, and things just languished. Nothing happened. In fact, Stephen Laurent, who wrote the history of Pittsburgh, came to town to revise his book on Pittsburgh, and we were together up on Mount Washington about 2 years ago, I guess it was, and he said, "What's happened in Pittsburgh?" And I said, "Absolutely nothing since you were here and finished the book." And he said, "Nothing? How can you say such a thing?" And in the new chapters in the book, this is the way he starts. He said, "We were up on the mountain together, a friend of mine, Mount Washington, and we were talking about Pittsburgh, and I said, 'What's happened?' And my friend said, 'Absolutely nothing.' And then he proceeds to refute that things have been happening. I still am not convinced about it. But anyway, he took pictures of me in profile up there, and they're in the book. You'd not recognize them because they're silhouettes against the windows of a restaurant. But I do feel that nothing has been happening, and now that Caliguri has taken over the mayor's seat, he comes right out in the open and states, 'We are going to do something positive about this.' And I think the Allegheny Conference, he might just get things going.
Politically, has there been much change between years ago and now?
I don't know, because I haven't really been in politics.
Do you see a difference in the environment?
What aspect of the environment?
The overall environment from years ago and now.
The cleanliness?
That would be.
Well, the air is reasonably clean, but I have just been talking to a woman who's moved here from Pittsburgh, from San Francisco, where she was very active in the museum, and she thinks Pittsburgh is a disgusting, filthy city. She said the streets are full of litter and dust, and she said she hates to go outdoors in Pittsburgh. I wasn't aware of this until she mentioned it, but I've been looking around, and it really is a mess. Now, of course, the potholes this year aren't so, you know, there's an excuse for them because of the severe winter, and they're going to do something about it. But other years, they haven't cared too much whether there were potholes or not.
When we spoke before about your being told that you were one of the final people
in the Outstanding Citizens Award.
You did not tell us how it ended.
I said, am I the Outstanding Citizen? He said, I can't tell you that. He said, if I tell you any more, I'll lose my job. And so the next time he called, he said, we want to send a photographer. And I said, well, you wouldn't go to all this trouble unless I was the Outstanding Citizen. He said, it's not one, it's seven. And he said, but don't you tell anybody.
So you are one of the seven.
Yeah.
How do you view Pittsburgh Jewish life and its place in the overall general community now? Mm-hmm. How do you look on Jewish life
in this
community now?
I'm influenced by Judy and Robert because they feel that Reform Judaism is a bad compromise. I told you that they are going into Orthodoxy, and they're going the whole hog now that they're putting the boys in Hebrew school. And I don't go to temple. I never did very much, but now it's meaningless. But when I go to Annapolis, to Judy's, I do go to that Orthodox synagogue. I don't get a lot of comfort from it, but I just like the fact that I'm sitting next to the kids who do.
What about Jewish life in general, not just personally in Pittsburgh? How do you view that?
I don't view it really. I don't, my best friends are not Jewish. My very best friends, I guess, are. But the majority of my friends are not Jewish. And I mean, I don't select them because they're Jews or non-Jews. It just happens that way.
How do you view your accomplishments when you look back on your life? What do you think of what were your accomplishments, your successes, your failures?
I think I have an inferiority complex, I guess, because I don't think I've accomplished so much. Maybe this has been realistic. I always think I should be doing better. I make great demands on myself, and anything that I've accomplished, I don't think is an accomplishment for me. I try to think I think everybody who goes through this world has to contribute something. Otherwise, why are we here? And maybe I do believe in God, I don't know, but I just think we've got to be here for a reason, and I'm not sure what my reason is, but I don't want to be taking space and not contributing my bit. So anything I can do, I do, and I think I've accomplished some things, but I think I could have done more, and I'm trying to still do.
Where do you think you had your greatest success? With what are you satisfied?
I think what I've done for artists was helpful to individual artists. I think I consider WQED a big accomplishment. That hasn't been underlined. But I think that was a very important contribution to communications and to education. Public television, they now call it. We used to call it educational TV. I remember when the schools picked it up and they started using it in the classroom. That was a big step forward. And I felt when I was in India that they needed to get the broadcasting system organized over there so that they could get one set for each commune, each village, and they could start to educate people in birth control and in reading, and they can unify their language and help. And there's so many things that they can do, and this could be done in all underprivileged countries, but India needs so much help, and there's a real chance to do something with educational TV, non-commercial TV, they would call it.
Don't you feel that your work with children at the Three Rivers Festival is a success?
Yes, I'm glad to see they've continued that and really developed it very nicely.
What do you think was a failure in your activities? Or are there no failures?
Sometimes I feel that I've not been. I think this is a regret in my life, that I have not done a lot for personal friends. I just don't seem to have time for everything. And my sister's in the hospital. I feel like I should be down there much more than I am. Dick's mother is getting aged, and I should be doing more for her. There are a lot of people that I could be spending more time with and doing more things with and for, and I just can't do it all, and I've had to decide what's important, and I think that there are a lot of other people who can visit with friends and relatives, and you've got to determine what your priorities are.
Are there any failures in accomplishments you felt that you should have gone further?
No, I'm satisfied. You have to be realistic, and you can just do so much. I used to be very frustrated that I couldn't do more, and as I've gotten older, I've realized that I mustn't feel this way. There's just so many hours in the day, and there were conflicts. You know, I had a family, and the family really came first, and so you have to. I think in my older years, I have come to realize that there are limitations, physical limitations, and now I am not able to remember as well as I used to, and physically I can't go as hard as I used to, and so I'm trying not to be frustrated. I can do so much, and I have to be satisfied with it.
Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to tell us?
I don't think so.
One thing I can think of, you've mentioned India several times.
Mm-hmm.
When did you go to India?
We went to India in, it was about 10 years ago. On our way around the world, first we went to Japan and Taiwan and Bangkok, and we came back the same way we went across the Pacific. The second time we had friends in Japan, and we wanted to meet the parents of these friends, so we went and stopped in to visit them on the Inland Sea, and from there we went to India, and we stopped at other places along the way.
That was your second trip to India?
No, that was the first trip to India. And we spent a month in India that trip. And as you know, India is a huge country. You've been there, I think. It's a big continent, really, and we just couldn't cover it all. So we considered that unfinished business. And when my cousin Edith Roseman was there, her husband worked for the State Department on the population control program. They were there, and we planned to meet in India and do some traveling together while he was working. And we went back and stayed with them because we couldn't travel. There was an air strike. So we went to Nepal, and Sri Lanka, but I still feel like that's unfinished business. If you don't like India, it tantalizes me. You feel there's just such a lot that needs to be done there. And if I had another life, maybe I'm devoted to India. See what I could do. It'd be a wee little drop in the bucket, but. What I'd like to do is try to influence the Indians from, you know, this drain that they talk about. These brilliant Indians come over here, and you can't blame them in a way for staying because there's no opportunity in India. But they do stay here, and they do not return to do what they can for their country. And I'd like to work on that.
I think you've had all successes, Nita.
Nice to say so.
We thank you very, very much.
I enjoyed this interview.